Yeah, posting on social media is kind of like picking lottery tickets, but you get unlimited amounts where sometimes you'll win, sometimes you won't, but you still need to continue to pick up those tickets.
Hey guys, welcome back to our podcast. I'm your host, Stefan Kunz, joined with
Lauren Hom.
And in this episode today, we are taking a look at what Instagram is doing right now. Instagram is rolling out a new feature where they're disappearing the likes of the posts of people you're following.
So you as a user, when you're scrolling through your feed, can't see how many likes any of the photos have gotten. Is that correct?
That is brilliantly put, a lot better than I just did. That is exactly it. Instagram is taking away the likes and hiding it from everyone. So we are not comparing ourselves too much to each other anymore.
But as the creator, you still have access to how many likes that thing received. And it's so interesting too, because from a psychological standpoint, I totally get, you know, wanting to kind of shut down the comparison trap. I wonder how that's going to affect, you know, people liking photos if they can't see them, like from the user. Like if I'm scrolling through Instagram, are likes just going to become something that people forget to do now because they don't really quote unquote matter anymore? I'm so curious to see what'll happen. It's really just an experiment.
So exactly that, and the question, are likes making you a better artist? And all the things like comments, followers, engagements, like, is that helping us or preventing us to become a better artist? And that's what we want to discuss in this episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
Lauren, I'm asking you the first question. Are likes good or bad for you?
For me personally?
Yes.
Ooh. So I would say my relationship with likes and engagement has mostly been good. I think because I have been using social media for such a long time and, you know, got started towards the end of college, it's always been kind of a novelty to me. It was kind of new. Didn't really think to equate any of my self-worth to the amount of likes or reblogs like I was getting on Tumblr. I started on Tumblr, for those of you who aren't familiar with my story. But I will say that my very first encounter with likes was a very positive encounter, because I started that Tumblr blog in college, Daily Dishonesty, and it kind of blew up on the internet. And it was the first time I had ever had, you know, a significant following for any projects I had done. I previously had been on like Behance, and I would get like likes or appreciations, I think that's what they're called, on Behance. And I maybe had like a couple hundred people following my work. But Daily Dishonesty blew up, and, you know, within the first 3 months, I had 10,000 Tumblr followers. And for me, it felt really exciting to have that external validation. And that's one thing I stress to, you know, my students now, and just anyone who asks me for advice: external validation, like in the form of likes, is not inherently evil or bad. It's how we absorb it and interpret it and let it affect us that can be bad. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was, you know, at 21 years old, really exciting to be like, wow, there are all these strangers here who want to see, you know, the next Daily Dishonesty post, who want to see my work. And it actually motivated me to make better work and to make more of it, because I actually had an audience to cater to. Whereas before, it was just kind of posting stuff randomly to a very small audience. But I felt for the very first time this sense of accountability to my audience. And that was a big motivator for me. I will say, on the flip side, you know, 6 years later now, or 7 years, wow, when you have a large audience, sometimes that can also be paralyzing, where you're like, I have all these people, like I'm letting them down if I don't post, like their happiness depends on me posting more art. And I think sometimes I've swung too far on the other side of taking it too much upon myself as to what those followers mean and what they expect of me. A lot of it is just me projecting. But yeah, I'd say mostly it's a good thing. I as a artist and as a business person, enjoy likes and engagement for the data that it gives me of what my audience can relate to or what they enjoy, just so I can make a mental note of it. That's one thing that I've had to remind myself of a lot, is the stuff that gets the most engagement doesn't mean you have to only do that kind of stuff. It's just nice to know, like, okay, that, you know, new medium or that color or that kind of phrase does well with my audience. And obviously, I made it, so I enjoyed it to some extent, and maybe I want to make more of that work if I want more engagement kind of in that same vein. So it's been positive for me. I will say, yeah, I'm human like anybody else. And when I have a post that doesn't do well, I get a little bit bummed because art is so personal. That's the kind of trickiness of running a business around art, is when you put your art on the internet, it's such a vulnerable act. And we tie a lot of our self-worth into our art because we put a lot of ourselves into our art. And so sometimes it's easy to get your artwork and your self-worth kind of mixed up. And yeah, it's a bummer, but you also learn to kind of move past it and that it's not everything. And one thing that helps me is I think about the bigger picture of, you know, okay, I have a post that like didn't do as well as the other ones. Like, does it even matter? Are people even noticing? Like, I don't think anyone scrutinizes their Instagram feed and their Instagram posts the way that we do to ourselves. Like, no one's really looking and being like, ha ha, like Lauren's post only got 2% engagement. What a loser. Like, no one's doing that. Or at least I hope no one's doing that.
I love to spend time looking at other people's posts, seeing like, oh, did that really do well? Did that not do well? Mm-hmm. Not in a mean way necessarily, but I do observe a lot. Like, and see, this is where it gets really weird, is where I try to boost my own mood by looking at other people's posts and just saying like, oh, I still get a lot more engagement on my posts, or it's still okay. And like, it's a terrible thing to do.
We all do it though. It's okay.
It's all about like really being honest here. I won't be able to do this as much anymore. As soon as that feature rolls out, I'll be stuck with only scrutinizing myself and seeing like what I'm doing and having to focus more on that. And that is pretty much the better thing to do anyway. It's really looking at how can you improve yourself, yeah, trying to be the best you can be and not trying to be the best out of all these other people.
You know, prior to having the internet, you just compared yourself to people who were physically like around, mm-hmm, you. And now you have access to pretty much anyone in the entire world who's sharing stuff online. And it can paint a very unrealistic picture of like, you know, what you are supposed to be doing or what you think you should have or how many followers you think you should have. Where the thing that I always tell my students is, I'll say, you don't win a race by looking over your shoulder constantly at how everybody else is doing. You win a race by keeping your head down and doing the best that you, mm-hmm, can. And like you said, it's okay to look at what other people are doing for inspiration or to just kind of gather data on what's working, what's not working, you know, try it out for yourself, see if that works for your audience. But yeah, it's the first time we've been able to, you know, compare ourselves to such a large set of people, when in reality, let's say you or I made something that we were really genuinely proud of and we post it on Instagram and it gets, you know, 10,000 likes. Amazing. Cool. And then 2 seconds later, we're scrolling and we see that someone else's post got 20,000 likes. We automatically feel worse about what we just posted, when in reality, the artwork didn't get worse. Like, it just was a perspective, mm-hmm, shift that we had, because it's so hard not to compare to like cold, hard numbers. Mm-hmm. And it's the first time we've ever had those like concrete metrics next to our, yeah, art and our faces, I guess, as a measure of worth or value. And it does, I think, mess a lot of creatives up. I've definitely had my doubts and my thoughts, but I also know that at the end of the day, whether I have, you know, 100 followers or 100,000 followers, I love drawing and lettering and I would do that anyways. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that people would eventually follow along. But kind of like what we've said in a lot of other episodes, that's why passion is so important, because passion for what you do helps you break through bad habits or helps you break through creative block or helps you break through, you know, your self-doubt that you have after you start falling into the, mm-hmm, comparison trap. Because if you do it out of, you know, the love for it, it becomes a lot easier to shake all those other things off. Yeah.
So this is the interesting thing about me. For me, how I got into, mm-hmm, like how I got into lettering was I started, mm-hmm, with sharing pictures of typography and stuff on Instagram, and it started growing.
Oh, like of other people's work?
No, it was my work, but it's like using, okay, like using an app, not actually lettering, like using fonts and all that. And then started, mm-hmm, to like start lettering. And my main objective at the time was just growing. If I wasn't growing, I wasn't advancing. And so the data became the measurement of my improvements. And to improve, to grow on Instagram, I had to become a better artist. to become a better artist, like help me to grow on Instagram. And so that kind of bouncing back and forth, like as soon as I stepped up my game, I started drawing again, I shared something more. So for the last 4 or 5 years, it's kind of been really just that. It's just been putting in the time, trying to maximize the efficiency of creating, of sharing, of making something to grow on Instagram, to grow your brand. And so that has been how I got into social media and how I used likes and used following in the numbers to help me improve my art skills.
That's amazing.
Because otherwise, I probably wouldn't have invested so much time into it. Like I would have had an outlet, but nobody to share it to. And which is why I tell people like enjoy likes for the data. One of the things is you can get really attached to is seeing, well, this post got so many likes, so it's a lot better than the other one. Or even self-worth is, well, I only got 100 likes and the other person got 1,000 likes, so they must be better than I am, which is such a dangerous thing to tell yourself. And I kind of want to unpack this a little bit more. Like, how can we use this data to improve as a person, improve as an artist, to see it only as data and not as a measurement of worth?
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, I mean, I really liked what you were saying about how that data from the engagement helped you improve as an artist and was motivating. Having those numbers are helpful because, you know, art is so subjective. And sure, there are some markers depending on what your craft is of improvement, but sometimes it's hard to know how well you're doing unless you have, you know, some bumpers of other people to kind of bounce that off of. I think the first place my mind went was it varies from person to person. Some people are naturally inclined to look at numbers as data and don't take it so personally. However, I think sometimes those numbers can feel more emotional. So I think it depends on what your predisposition was coming into the social media platform. In terms of how we can shift that mindset, I mean, I told a story in the last webinar that I did about how I used to think that the number of hours that I put into a piece would result in more likes for the piece. So if I spent 10 hours versus 5 hours, I should get double the
Big
likes.
Mistake.
I thought it was like totally related. Totally not. And I can't stress this enough to anyone who, it doesn't matter what stage you are in your art, the message you're trying to get across, intention behind your post, and did you enjoy it? Those things are so much more important than the actual outcome, because what you can control is the artwork itself, your creative process, you know, sharing something that is meaningful to you. That's what you can control. You can't control how the ever-changing algorithm spits it out there. And even then, you can't control who is actually liking it. Anytime that I have a post that doesn't do as well, I just tell myself that, you know what? I observe my own Instagram behavior, and sometimes I'll be scrolling through my feed and I'll see a meme and it's funny, and then I'll see a piece of artwork that's really amazing, but I won't like them. I'll just kind of keep scrolling because we're so used to like that scroll culture of just consuming content. So I remind myself that I did what was within my control to make the work. I'm proud of the work, and the number of likes that it gets isn't necessarily tied to my self-worth. There are so many variables that resulted in that post not getting as many likes as I thought it would. Like the story that I told in the webinar was I spent 4 full days with my assistant painting a mural once, and I was so excited to share photos of it because I, in my heart, did that thing where before you post a photo, you kind of guess how many likes you want it to get or how many you think it's going to get. It didn't hit that. It did okay. The next day we went to the beach and to take a break, and I drew the word Australia in the sand with my finger in 30 seconds because we were at the beach and just hanging out. And I just snapped a photo of that.
I actually remember that post.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And I posted it and it got double the amount of likes that my 4-day mural got.
Yeah.
The word Australia isn't even like a thought-provoking or profound kind of thing. And so for me, at first, you know, when I saw that, my assistant and I were like, that's total like BS. Like who are all these people who just like sand? Like, what is this? They don't appreciate our craft. But what I didn't realize is that, you know, they can't see all the hard work that went into the mural. Yeah, the mural's cool, but also lettering in sand is cool too. And I have no control over how people react to those things. And like you were saying before, it's just data. So for me, I was like, okay, well, the amount of time I spend is not tied to the amount of likes. And maybe people like tactile lettering, you know, lettered into surfaces that they recognize or can relate to. And I just made a note of that. So I started incorporating more lettering that was made out of like objects or like lettered into things. Like I have lettering on pancakes and lettering on soup. And it isn't something that I decided to exclusively do after that, but I made a note of it and I'll incorporate it sometimes. And those posts tend to do really well because my guess is people relate to real world environments.
I just love, like, you took a note, you wrote it down, like instead of going down the rabbit hole of, oh, why didn't it do so well? Like I spent like 4 days on this and like just 30 seconds on this and just totally changed everything. Like I need to change everything I do and pursue this. And blaming is probably the worst thing you can do in that moment, is like a lot of people like to blame either themselves or someone else. Like it's either I could have done better, or like the Instagram algorithm is wrong and something is not working. And for me, it's always been more like, of course, I always have these moments where I feel like, man, everything else is wrong except me. And I try to blame it something. But then fast enough, I realize, you know what? Use it as fuel to fuel your creativity, to be like, all right, this is a problem and I need to solve it. And this is where I use my creativity to make it better.
Or like, you know, this didn't work. What can I try next? I think one thing that's important to remember, regardless of how you feel about likes and the algorithm, is that whether a post does really well or really poorly, that there's nothing stopping you from creating another one and like taking your shot. I was on Andy J. Miller's podcast, Creative Pep Talk, I think 2 years ago, and we both had these really good, slightly different analogies of how posting on social media, to me, is like getting unlimited at-bats in baseball, where you can step up to the plate and take as many chances as you want. You might get a home run sometimes, and you might strike out sometimes. You might hit like a, you know, single or a double. It's going to be different every single time, but that doesn't stop you from stepping up to the plate every time and taking your shot, because you have a fresh start every single time. And his analogy was, honestly, I think even a little bit better. He was talking about how he views social media as like a lottery ticket, where if someone told you right now you could go buy as many lottery tickets as you want, or you could buy a new one every day, 10 per day, you would probably do that. You'd be like, yeah, I want to take all my chances because it's free. And he said, yeah, posting on social media is kind of like picking lottery tickets, but you get unlimited amounts, where sometimes you'll win, sometimes you won't, but you still need to continue to pick up those tickets because no one's stopping you from doing that. They're abundant. They're there for you to keep trying over and over again. And circle this back to your original question. One way to help detach our self-worth from the likes and just see it as data is to just know that it's out of your control, and all you can do is practice, put in the work, step up to the plate, take your swing. And if it doesn't yield a home run every single time, which it won't, you just have to go back and keep swinging and keep trying, and that it isn't related to you so much as it is, you know, the time of day you posted or how people were feeling, or maybe some people were trying to be healthy like you and take a social media break. Like, that's not a bad thing. And you can control your creative process, your output, the kind of, you know, heart you put into your work. And that's really all you can do and focus on, or that's the most productive stuff to focus on.
And there's just so many things that I want to pick apart and just talk about. But I really like the two analogies you brought, like the lottery ticket and of course the, baseball, hitting the home run. What's his name? Michael Phelps, like the swimmer. He couldn't beat his own record at every attempt. Like he's training, he's in the pool. Like there's bad days, there are good days. And then one day, maybe like, if everything aligns, like it will be just perfect. Like all the conditions just happen to be right. And that can be exactly the same thing for your post. Like you found the right time of day. Everyone was on their phones at the time you launched it. It just hit the nerve with everyone. It was like the perfect topic at the right time. And just everybody kept talking about it. Of course, there are a lot of things that you can do right to make that happen. But if you try to kind of beat your own record at every attempt, you're going to lose more over time. And I see, for example, Ian is a great example. Like, he sometimes hits a home run, and that is so strong, so fast, that I cannot compete with his top posts. Like, overall, all my posts, like, maybe get more likes. But then sometimes he hits those home runs, and James Lewis with his amazing logo paintings, the same thing. There's an episode on the future. Like, if you look it up on YouTube, you type in trend in the future, and you'll see like a cool episode with the Adobe trend researcher who actually like talks about all the things that are trendy right now, the colors, the backdrops, the style of photography, and everything like that. And that is super impressive. And then I feel like, all right, like, how much of these things can I implement? Does that really affect something of what I'm posting and all that? Like, all these things can help, but they don't necessarily make the perfect post. And that's the next question I'd like to ask is, you can use that information, but it doesn't have to control you. And I feel like that's a great topic to talk about, is likes and data shouldn't control you. You should control the data and use the data to control what you're doing, but it shouldn't decide on what you 100%. Should be doing, because I think, yes, it will work for a certain of time, and yes, you'll build up the audience exactly around that specific area. If you just pick up on that and you're like, ooh, I'm just going to do this and I'm going to keep doing this until it dies out. I'm just curious, like, I don't want to be stuck in something that I feel like I didn't choose just because I had a viral hit. If I drew something in the sand like you did and it became this viral hit and everybody's talking about it, should I just focus on sand and just change all my lettering and base it on sand? Or should I keep doing what I've been doing all along? It's like, again, for me, it's always been lettering, using lettering to inspire and encourage other people. And you have always had that humor. Like, if you would just change and write something in sand because that was popular, the data will control your creativity, your creative output, and you're not using the data to improve or to kind of reach more people through your creative output.
Yes, I just had a funny thought imagining a world where you pivoted into exclusively sand lettering. But what I was going to say is, yeah, I think you touched on a great point about using the data to influence your creativity. But the thing I always like to tell people is, it's good to have some audience feedback. It's the first time we've ever had kind of instant audience feedback like that from as artists. It's good to use that, but you shouldn't let it rule you, because then you're putting all the control and creative, you know, decision making into someone else's hands, and then you just start making art that you think will be popular. And then that's when I think psychologically you start to care more about the likes, because the artwork is solely in pursuit of the most engagement. People follow you because they think you're creative and they like your work. And if you only make stuff that they want to hear, then you lose your creative voice. So my role for myself is, even if it's only 51% to 49%, I always have to be the one like in the driver's seat, like calling the shots. Sure, some posts are very heavily influenced by maybe a trend that I saw or something that I think is going to perform well. But for the most part, I always make sure that it's coming from a place of, no, I really wanted to make that. That felt good to make. I think it ties back to what I said earlier about using Instagram intentionally, like as a user, doing it with purpose. You know, even if you spent 11 hours on Instagram, if it was for a reason, it feels a lot better than just kind of aimlessly scrolling for 11 hours. So having that reason, I think, is important. So even if you're creating something trendy, you try it and the engagement is great, but you also felt so alive and loved, you could keep doing that if it felt good for you. If you're only doing it for engagement and then you decide to make it your entire thing, that sounds like a slippery slope for disappointment. But I think that as long as you are making artwork that at the end of the day you like and you're excited about, it helps to curb some of the disappointment from engagement. On the flip side, you know, feeling really excited when you have a post that does do really well, I actually try to train myself to think about the data, like the amount of likes and engagement, as just like information. And if I have a post that does really well, I actually try not to focus on it too much or to get too excited about it, because I also know that the more excited I get about a really, you know, well-performing post, the more I'm kind of opening the door for disappointment with a lower performing post. So I just try to not pay as much attention to it, to be honest. You know, maybe there are certain posts, like if you did a sponsored post or something, where you would want to try to use some of those tactics to get the most engagement. So like you get better results for your client and they hire you again. But yeah, I mean, if we are all just making art for, you know, the algorithm because of trends, then it all starts to look the same too. And that's already an issue, I think, with modern like sharing, like art spreads so fast and trends move so fast because, you know, you put something out there and if it goes viral, it's awesome. But it also means that millions of people are seeing it and then we'll start to emulate it, which is just normal. I think it's natural. But if everybody starts doing the thing that you're doing, it becomes like less popular, or it starts to die down because it's kind of oversaturated. So I think we as artists too, it's okay to jump on trends, but also know that a trend isn't a long-term strategy, because trends come and go more quickly than ever now. So it's really important to look at trends and look at the feedback you get in terms of engagement as just factors and just information coming into your own creative kitchen, your own creative process, for you to kind of remix in your own way and come up with something fresh. Because as artists living in, you know, this day and age, we have to be more, I think, resilient than ever and even more creative than ever, because trends spread faster and we have to come up with the next fresh new thing or put our own spin on things. So the number of likes you get and the number of followers you have doesn't always equate to how much money your business is bringing in, how much client work you have. And what I was going to say is, yes, the, you know, big 100,000, 200,000 followers number is shiny and like is a credibility marker in some regard, but it's much more beneficial to have a small audience of people who can, one, refer you to jobs or hire you. Like, imagine you could choose between an audience of a million random people or an audience of 1,000 art directors at all like the best ad agencies. I would choose 1,000 followers in a heartbeat. It's not always quantity. It's the quality of your followers too. So it's not just people who can hire you, but people who are going to engage with your posts, not because they're bots, but because they genuinely like what you're posting or they resonate with it. People who are going to tell their friends about you, people who are going to screenshot your work and, like, you know, use it as their phone background because they're so inspired. Like, even no matter how many followers you have, you're trying to cultivate those like big fans. And those are the people who are going to end up actually growing your business and, you know, growing your, I guess, notoriety in the industry, because they are telling other people about you and they're hiring you for work. And if I come from a place of, I made this because I wanted to, I enjoyed making it, it was fun, I got to flex my creative skills, I got to indulge, you know, a creative interest, that is all that really matters. Because like I've mentioned many times in this episode, that's all you can really control. And to answer our big philosophical question of our likes good or bad, they are neutral. It's just how we choose to interpret them. Engagement is somewhat out of our control. All you can do is show up and make the work.
Yeah, exactly. So even us talking about it, it's more, I want to put people at ease really with the thought of, oh no, this is going to mess up something, or this could be like, this could potentially ruin my business or whatever. It's like, it's a challenge that is set in front of you and you have to overcome it. Our human body, our human mind is made to overcome obstacles and to face these fears, these things, and find a better way to deal with that. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Striving Artist Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to share it on social media. It would help us a lot if you could also rate, review, and subscribe to the Striving Artist Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and or SoundCloud. This also helps us in ranking the show and would be greatly appreciated. We would love to hear from you via email, DM, or even voice message on Anchor. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.